Hello, and welcome to this week's episode of Politibabble, where we'll be discussing what on earth is going on. This week I'm joined by, well, not Ewan, because he doesn't really love us, but...
Archibald Elliot.
And Brisha Shaw.
Yay.
We didn't say your name, Sam.
Oh, I'm Samra.
Could be helpful. Oh, forgot the sunglasses. No.
Sam!
No,
I have them.
I'm already famous.
I know. Okay. So bad of me to do that.
I know, really disappointing.
As discussed, Ewan is not here.
Crying, devastated.
He got his A-level results yesterday, and as every 18-year-old, went out on the lash. But Ewan, I just have one thing to say to you. My brother got you a bottle of Jack Daniels because it was your birthday on Wednesday, and I was supposed to bring it, but because you're not here, you're not going to get it until next week.
And we cannot condone alcohol drinking here on Politibabble.
We don't condone it. Drink
if you're
safely.
Learn from this. If you drink on a night out, you might miss your political podcast. So don't risk it, guys. It's not worth it.
No.
Being an irresponsible drinker. Don't be irresponsible like Ewan. Be responsible like Sam, Archie, and I.
Hashtag don't be Ewan. Okay, right. Okay.
Ewan, no longer Ewan McClelland, but more Ewan McCancelled. There we are.
And she has definitely not made that joke already. That is a fresh joke.
This is not the 17th time we're hearing that.
It's fine.
Sorry, guys.
Okay. So, yeah, today, obviously, we're not going to do the episode we'd planned, because... Yep. You know,
plans change,
guys. So we're just going to have like a bit of a chat about what's going on. What on earth is going on
what
in
on
the world?
What on earth is going on, Sam?
I don't know. I don't know what's going on, Brisha.
Neither do I. I should really listen to a podcast that explains it.
Yes, you should. Okay, so.
I love that you've kept your glasses on as well. By the way,
watching
this on
the
Manx Radio website, we were wearing YouTube glasses at the start. Well. YouTube channel. Whatever it is.
Yeah.
The Manx Radio something.
The video.
Not watching the video. We were wearing sunglasses at the start because we're cool kids like that. But we've taken them off. It's very sunny outside. We're very sweaty.
Yeah. Okay.
Sweaty.
So yeah, we're going to talk about what on earth is going on in this current political world.
I think we haven't actually written it in the plan, but I think we should probably lead with the Kamala Harris being announced. We haven't written that down, but surely we should start.
Oh, yes, of course. That's very important. It's not a current affairs it's a weird episode, this one. Just enjoy it.
Ewan,
like
on,
tell us if you like this better than the other one. Maybe it's because of the lack of Ewan and the...
Yikes, okay.
Tweet us at Politibabble. Email your comments in to politibabble@gmail.com. That's
woo!
So, really quickly, just to run it through, Kamala Harris is she's a Democrat, obviously, and she's been selected as Joe Biden's vice president candidate, so if they win, she'll be the vice president. And that's pretty much all. I mean, what do we think of her so far? What does everyone...
You seem a bit confident that they won't win, if... Not when, Sam, can't be.
Well, you know, I said that Donald Trump would never win in 2016, and he did. So I no longer have any kind of surety.
You're not conspiring with the Russians to rig the election.
Me and Vladimir Putin are going to take down America by getting Donald Trump elected again. It's true. You've caught us, Archie.
Oh, caught you mid-act.
But Sam, they're number one in Corona case.
It's true. I watched the interview, and it's true. The US has less coronavirus cases than the world.
It's shocking. I thought they'd have like 10 times more than the world, obviously.
But Archie, if you don't get tested, you don't have the virus.
It's true. Sometimes they do say, experts say, you can be tested too much.
Well, if you're wondering what we're referring to the interview which Donald Trump did to ABC, if I'm correct.
Yes. Yeah. I know the guy was like Australian or something.
Yeah,
like an
Australian interviewer who has some kind of... He's renowned for knowing to be a good interviewer, basically. All of the interviews Donald Trump does are a train wreck in some way. This one was particularly poor. And it has, for a while now, there's been a bit of a growing trend. Donald Trump seems to be less, like, he seems to have deteriorated. Like, throughout the interview, it seemed like he had no concept of reality, really. He didn't seem to really understand the topic he was discussing, and he had absolutely zero evidence to back up anything he said.
I think this is exactly where it's obviously a good political situation at the moment, having the media and the ability to report on all these events and have hard evidence, because if you take like the 18th century, 19th century, for example, even the earliest 20th century, there were nothing, there was just written records and word of mouth. So you can say, Donald Trump said the sky was green, but you don't have it on video. Now you have it on video that Donald Trump says the sky was green.
Yeah.
Donald Trump, we all know it is green. I'm colorblind, so obviously I view it as green, it must be green, and you can't discriminate against me for that.
By the way, sorry, I'm not laughing at the fact that Archie's colourblind, I'm just laughing at the way he told us he was colourblind.
Yeah, if you heard that in previous episodes, then that was Archie telling us for the first time, and it was such a brilliant reveal.
I'm sure
because you and Justin didn't even acknowledge it, you just went straight into whatever he was saying. And
to be fair, I tried to plow on, but you just broke down, and that made me laugh.
It was just like, oh, okay, Archie's colourblind.
Okay.
Thanks for that, I guess.
Oh, my God.
But yeah, Donald Trump, what a mess.
No, and it is interesting, because I've noticed, and you see it in pretty much everything in politics, but really noticeable over the last few years, is how differently him being president has changed how people perceive America. It's become such a different thing. Like, if you think back to when America was under the Obama administration, whatever you think of President Obama, internationally, it might as well have been an entirely different entity. It's like, and I think that's something that's really like can happen in a lifetime. It can take place over, you know, even hundreds of years, but it can also happen just over the space of a few. Is that a single person can change the world's perception or a nation's perspective of anything, really? And I just think that's something that's very present. Politics seems to have gotten faster. Things change very quickly. That's all.
For the better or for the worse?
Well, I think in Donald Trump's case, maybe the worse.
Maybe the worse, yeah. Maybe.
All we need to know is Orange Man bad.
That's Orange Man bad.
That's what runs through our head when we see Donald Trump. We just think Orange Man bad.
Yeah, but the same is kind of true for like socialism in the UK with Jeremy Corbyn. Like, the path of how the Labour Party, how Jeremy Corbyn and how socialism were perceived in the last few years of his career as leader of the opposition is so, it's such a big, like, so many fast changes happened in so many different directions. When he first came, there was a real mix of people who absolutely loved him, and people who thought he would be the end of the Labour Party. And then he went on, and it was in 2016 he won seats and lost the Conservatives their majority.
Yeah, 2017.
And that was unbelievable, because for years the idea that a socialist could go and do that was just nonsensical. But then he went on, and obviously Conservatives very confidently won back the majority in Parliament.
Whoop whoop! Yay. Yeah,
boom. Which is a disaster. But and now, you know, you see things like, I was reading through different articles the other day, and it was Jeremy Corbyn, the least popular leader of the Labour Party in 50 years and stuff like that. And it's so interesting how quickly things will turn on you. Because when he beat the Conservatives and lost them their majority, people were praising him as, you know, I know certainly loads of people who were like, okay, he's probably going to be Prime Minister.
Well, he has a big power. He had a big power. Had, because he's no longer a leader.
Yeah.
He had a big kind of... he had momentum behind him. It's both as a pun, but also as the political kind of pressure group within the Labour Party. And lots of young voters really like what he's standing for, which I think it emulates with you, Sam, probably.
Well, no, yeah, I think I genuinely do believe he's a man of good principle. And I think, and I was confirmed in that after he ceased to be the leader of the Labour Party. Because even now, he's still campaigning on every front he can. He's campaigning to help people who have been economically destroyed by coronavirus. He's campaigning to help students who are struggling. He's still going. And it's not for any personal gain, because he's never going to be leader again. He'll never be Prime Minister. He probably won't be in Parliament for that much longer, but he still hasn't stopped. And so for me, a politician who continues to do what they do, even when it doesn't necessarily work to their advantage, because he's not going to gain anything from it. He's just doing it because he believes it. And I think that's why he really appealed to me. Because I think, like, if Boris Johnson was no longer Prime Minister, if he went up, he wouldn't still campaign. I don't think, personally. He wouldn't still do the things he does to try and help people. Because for him, it's a career, it's a job. I think he's an opportunist. But with Jeremy Corbyn, I think he genuinely believes what he campaigns for. He's an idealist.
I will give him some of that, but I also quote, go off, it's interesting, Theresa May and Jeremy Corbyn in PMQ. Like, sorry.
No, it's good.
Do not like Theresa May.
It's just because she ran through fields of wheat and you ran through fields of wheat, and it's kind of like, hey, it's all...
That's because the footpath didn't actually... It just ended.
That's true. People who haven't seen that picture must be really confused. But Archie did actually run through a field.
I had to. There's
no choice.
Even around the outside where the footpath was, there used to be. It's supposed to actually go straight across the field, but that's all wheat. So you usually run around it. And it was just all overgrown with wheat. So I had to run through it. What a shame.
Had to kill all the farmers' crops. Yeah.
Honestly. Okay, but
Corbyn, with his party, he used to be, with principle, there are some aspects which I disagree with. He used to be a staunch kind of Labour Eurosceptic. He didn't at all like the EU. And then he supported Remain.
Yeah.
And now he wanted to back the second referendum. Yeah. If he was surely Eurosceptic, he'd be for, you know, people gave a mandate, 52% said, yes, we should leave the EU. He would go with it and say, yes, EU. Or even in the referendum campaign, he's reluctant to campaign on the Leave set or the Remain. He's in the middle, but more towards the Remain side.
But I think in that sense, people are allowed to change their opinions, Archie.
Yes, but the point is now he has always, for a long time, and it's one of his principles, he does not like the big bureaucracy of the EU.
And I get what you mean, because I think for a lot of people, that loss of faith in Corbyn came from his sort of... He would dodge frequently the question of the EU. And I think a really big part of that is, because I do believe he's a Eurosceptic. I think he didn't want to be in the European Union. That's a whole other debate.
Nothing wrong with that there.
But I think his issue, and it is really hard as a left-wing person who doesn't believe in the EU, because the Leave campaign was fueled by, you know, it was fueled chiefly on xenophobia. I'm not saying there isn't an argument to leave. There definitely is. There's a compelling one. The issue is, it was spearheaded by people like Nigel Farage, who use racism and xenophobia to emphasise a point. So if you support, it's really tricky if you support leaving the EU, it would automatically mean, because of how polarised British politics was, that you
racist.
Align yourself... Yeah, well, no, but that you align yourself with racists.
I don't like this necessarily polarisation of politics.
No, yeah. Because, I agree. Yeah. It's just... And so I think Jeremy Corbyn was a bit like, oh, if I just don't give anything definitive, then I'm okay. And I think that really didn't work for him.
It just doesn't... You need, in politics, a definitive answer. This is what I stand for. Like as Margaret Thatcher said, I'll quote her again. She's not there to be liked. You just need to stand with your principles. And if you stand with your principles, like, I agree, the majority of what Jeremy Corbyn does, I'll give him that. That makes a much better politician. I still wouldn't vote for him, but still appreciate that style of politics. It is going towards more what I call the classical style of politics, where you stood with your principle and you were men of honour. It wasn't there to take digs at the other person.
All women.
Traditionally, in like the 18th century, women weren't allowed to vote. They weren't allowed to stand, which is obviously wrong. I'll say that.
Yay!
Backpedaling there.
Anyway,
as men of honour, and you would then, it wouldn't be taking short term digs at your opponent to kind of win one more vote or something. But as Theresa May said, Jeremy Corbyn is truly living up to the words of Marx. Those are my principles, and if you don't like them, I've got others. But as she also said, I know the Right Honourable Gentleman's keen to get to the dispatch box when the name Marx is identified. I was merely going out to point out to him that those were the words not of Karl, but of Groucho. I think it's Groucho.
Yeah, no, it's...
I want to say Groucho.
Look, and I think that's right there, is that side of politics you were just saying you don't like, that kind of taking dick. And I remember I saw this a video, and it was it was from years ago, it might have been in the 70s, and it was Jeremy Corbyn, and he'd left Parliament, and they'd basically, in Parliament, the Conservatives had made fun of him because he wore a jumper that had been knitted by his mum.
And
they'd been saying, don't you think it's totally outrageous? How dare you wear a jumper in this most noble of houses? And he was like, yeah, but it was cold.
There's a fine line between like having this jovial, like in PMQs, it's 30 minutes a week. Sure. I think that's quite nice. Sure. For the public to get engaged in politics, it's a brilliant thing to bring entertainment to the people, because if you just have men or women in suits or dresses or trouser suits just standing there talking boringly to each other, then it's just like...
Yeah, no, I get that. Yeah, and I think to do with that whole idea of being a man of or a woman... God, you've got me doing it now, aren't you? God damn. Being a person.
Person, yes. Sorry, you could be gender neutral. I do apologise if you are gender neutral or offended by that. I do.
That's why I said person.
That. Yes.
If you're a person of like honour and principle. And I think you see that a lot with Bernie Sanders. Because if you look at him...
Bernie!
But you grimace, and I'm not saying you necessarily have to like what he's saying, Archie. I do. But you don't have to. But if you go back to the start of his career, when he was, you know, in his 40s, and he was going around Vermont, he is campaigning for pretty much the same things in America. And he's stuck with that. And for a huge portion of his career, I mean, imagine being in the Cold War. So America is like, and the Soviet Union are... this far from destroying each other, and going, yeah, I'm a socialist.
For those of you who aren't watching the video, Sam.
Oh yeah, I did like
did
a little
very
finger.
Little
sorry.
Finger.
Very little finger. It's
like,
close,
like a millimeter
yeah.
away.
yeah, and saying I'm a socialist. This is what I stand for. If you're interested, this is me. And I think that is missing from politics. There's a lot of opportunism in politics now, and I think particularly Boris Johnson. I don't think there's anything. That Boris Johnson wouldn't say if he thought it would get him some extra votes.
And that's what on earth is going on in the British political scene, how the language of politics has changed. It's quite amazing to compare interviews. We had maybe interviews like of maybe Harold Wilson, Winston Churchill, or like Margaret Thatcher. Yeah.
I slipped it in again,
yes.
Unbelievable.
Good old Maggie.
We are going to. I've just
this
decided
is turning
right
into
now.
A Margaret Thatcher fan
no.
show.
We're
going to
have. It's Mm-mm. not. It's turning into Risha and Sam accept that Archie likes her. Well, we don't, but whatever. We will have an episode on her at some point, possibly a two-parter. Yeah. So if Archie disappears.
I think we need a whole season on Margaret Thatcher, really, to appreciate what she's done.
I want to talk about that woman as little as I can because I despise her that much.
I think it would be good if we did an episode on and we can each pick a prime minister, past or present, mm-hmm. it won't be present, who we think is the best prime minister, and have that discussion or debate.
I think another thing which has influenced kind of what on earth is going on today, it's kind of this social media trials of literally everything. You do something in politics, and you're an MP, you do something which someone doesn't like, and suddenly, up it goes on social media. You get slaughtered for it, and lots of then misinformation would then spread. We see there was a social media trial of the Met police the other day from a Labour MP who said she was pulled over via systemic racism within the police. Mm-hmm. And they had another view, but the thing is, it spreads, and then other misinformation might come from that, and it goes even further. And that's something which has obviously changed with the modern world, and being able to share something on Facebook, it instantly shares to like however many friends you have, so maybe 1,000 people, or I don't have that many on Facebook, so yeah, don't.
I didn't know that.
I think meme culture has definitely helped destroy politicians and people in general's career because
but meme culture, it also helps them.
Yeah. Yeah and no.
Help Donald Trump.
I think there's that thing of the alt-right has been memed because it's so meme. And that's the thing, because it's so memeable.
It is memeable.
It's so dumb. It's so ridiculous. If you stop... And that's all memes are. Memes are just super dumb things that make us laugh. And the
Karens.
And the issue is, it's kind of... It's given it a foothold. And I'm not being like, destroy all memes. But like, it is weird. It's weird that
the
like...
The Karen energy in the studio today.
Yeah.
Is astronomical.
It's really weird that that's happened.
Like, I think...
Sam, sorry, I forgot to have a mic on there. Sam, I demand a full refund for what what you've caused for me today.
I'm so sorry.
This should probably be in the current affairs bit, but I'm going to mention it anyway because we were talking about Karens. But did anyone see the This Morning interview where three women called Karen went on and spoke to Eamon and Ruth about how.
So, can you explain for maybe like me and others?
Explain what a Karen is.
No.
Explain what Good Morning is.
What's Good Morning? Sorry, I don't.
This Morning.
I seriously don't watch it.
This Morning is basically just like a morning TV show, just like a chat show. ITV, I think.
ITV.
They interview people and they'll like talk to celebrities, and they have Gino DeCampo on sometimes, and he'll like make some you know dishes and stuff. Holly and Philip are like the main presenters, and then they have Eamon and Roof there, and Rylan from like TOWIE or something. Anyway, I don't really watch it that much, but if a clip pops up in my recommended, I'll watch it. But anyway, these three women called Karen. Did like a Zoom call with Eamon and Roof because obviously Corona is still very active in the UK. And one of them started a petition on change.org to stop people calling other women Karens when they like do a Karen type thing and stop using their name in a derogatory way.
We apologise to all Karens who have been affected in this manner, but you are
it's funny. Karen. I think. Like, no people called, like, Joe have complained about the Joe Mama jokes.
And, it is a thing, and I think that...
And, oh, hi, Mark. Like, no one's complained about that. Like, not that I know of.
Yeah, the funny thing about those Karens is that they were, like, Karens.
They made a true Karen move by asking people to stop calling Karens Karen.
And maybe for those who maybe are, like, totally confused by Karen, could you define a Karen for us here?
Yeah, Brisha, define
that loose term. Yeah,
it's just like someone like an anti-masker that goes into a shop and demands to speak to your manager when you've done like a slight thing. Like maybe you scanned something twice. You know, I'm not talking from personal experience here or anything, but like maybe you accidentally scanned a bag twice and then you didn't realize, and then they come up to you shouting because you've scanned this bag twice.
Disgraceful.
And and they're like, I demand to speak to your manager. And then I'm like, and then you're like, let me just phone my supervisor over. And then your supervisor, who's like 2 years older than you, waddles over. And he's like, oh, hey, I'll just take the bag off. And then they're like, this is unacceptable behavior. I can't believe you've done this. Oh, my God. I hate this shop. And then you're like, okay. And then you want to go cry on your break, but then it's fine. Because you eat chocolate.
I want to just clarify, that's not all Karen. Not all Karen. If it's not like a Karen has to have done that, but
no,
like that's
but like,
pretty
that's
Karen.
That's a Karen activity. That's a Sunday.
That's a Karen
outing
for Sunday
Karen.
Right there.
Sundays with Karen.
Sundays with Karen. Oh no. Right, oh, okay.
That sounds like a fun TV show.
Sounds like, like a sad TV
like a
show.
Sketch like a sketch comedy that like Catherine Ryan. Not Catherine Ryan.
Catherine
Ryan. What's her name?
Right, we're not...
Flying away from the Karen problem, we now talk about the pigeons which seem to cuckoo every single Politivowel planning session.
I reckon they want in on this podcast.
I know.
Action,
should we invite these pigeons in? Please let us know, tweet us at Politibabble, Instagrammers, anything, just message us and say...
If you're watching
have
this
these pigeons
to, you know, get a real insight into politics and for a serious podcast, I do apologise, my... Co-podcasters have just invited pigeons onto our show.
I mean, they would be a lot.
They know
they
more
would give,
than some politicians.
They would
sound.
Give straighter no answers than more politicians.
Yeah.
Okay, ain't cool. That the tea?
Maybe
if,
pigeons
if
should
don't
be
know
our.
What tea is,
our like,
I'm sorry.
Okay, that's yeah. Maybe pigeons should be like our mascot.
Our mascot. We're not a pub.
Gave
so,
me a really
sorry,
sorry,
sorry.
Look.
Oh no.
Yes, we are the
sorry,
thirsty pigeon.
Yeah. for those of if you who don't know, I think it's the only pub on the island which accepts Bitcoin.
Yeah.
Oh my god, it does, doesn't it? I forgot about that.
Okay.
Yeah.
Okay.
It has a sign outside. We don't convene in the thirsty pigeon.
We don't. No.
We meet in Costa. If you're curious. And also non-spawn, Costa sponsors us. Thank you.
Non-spawn Costa.
Yeah.
Yeah.
but I think that moves on taking the bird's flight towards France.
Okay, you need
to
stop doing
speak about the Brexit conundrum that's currently going on.
Yeah.
Well, we're mentioning the B word this episode. I'm terribly sorry about that. Yes.
Right. So, remember Brexit, guys? And they were like, "Look, we're going to have this. We're going to leave the EU, and that's going to give us total control of our border." And that said that, and that was the crux of it. It was about taking sovereignty and power back. You know, to the people of Britain. And it's done now, so hooray. We've done it. We did it, boys. We've got...
Get Brexit control, done.
We got Brexit done.
We got Brexit done, guys.
And we've now got control of our borders. And as soon as we've done that, now the government and the newspapers are saying that it's France's responsibility to stop migrants coming in. Archie, put those binoculars down. I will get mad. And it's really interesting. And I think it's amazing that they've gotten away with this. Because it goes to show that this idea of... What we've actually done with Brexit is we've made it harder to get rid of people who come over as illegal migrants. We've made it more difficult because...
Are you asking for them to be getting rid of, Sam?
No, I'm not. I'm not saying that. But I think it's really funny that people like Nigel Farage have, you know, and credit to them. They conned us good. Not me, but they've conned some people good.
Well, Sam, it's not just the ability to stop
of course.
Obviously, it allows us to control our own immigration system, and that's very key. Illegal migrants, for that fact, they aren't legal. That's why can't stop them coming over. You can't say
Brexit. The crux of Brexit was put on the fact that we're going to stop refugees. Brexit will stop refugees and other immigrants coming into our country because we can't handle them.
It will force the EU not to be able to give us refugees.
But the refugees are still coming.
Yes, they still come, but there isn't a mandate.
Yeah,
for
but
them.
I think people had this perception that if we left the EU, we weren't going to get any more refugees. Keep them out, la la la. I'm not saying you should keep them out. No,
there should be legal mechanisms which allow them to move in, so they're not illegal migrants. There's an ability for them to come over on safe passes, so you don't have them coming over on dinghies.
I think the issue is, yes, there is. There should be legal mechanisms. I'm not saying that people should be able to come over safely. Mm. The issue is we're still not taking our fair share, and that's the perception. There is the perception that we've taken too many. There's a perception that Britain has, you know, it's tried to do too much and it's overwhelmed itself. We haven't. Germany if you look at Germany or France or any of these other countries, they've all taken more. Germany, Angela Merkel she pledged to take 1 million. Refugees at the start of the crisis.
That's a lot.
And the thing is, Germany can do that economically. And while we might not be able to take a million, we can certainly take a lot. We're the fifth richest country in the world.
Yes, we might not be able to take a million.
Although not anymore, because we've just entered the largest recession in...
Which doesn't exactly help any of this.
No. But we can still say, right, we have so much money, that means we can take 5 refugees or whatever. I think 5 is better than nothing.
We have asylum seekers.
That's like saying
this is 5 for the Isle of Man.
Five for the Isle of Man. Five. For
we're not saying 5 for the UK.
Five for the UK, Brucia. You're not fighting very hard. It's very easy for the government to say. We'll take 5. We'll shut up, Brucia.
That's like saying
5.
Oh, I'm gonna. It's only 5 plastic bags that I'm gonna bin. Getting climate-y here, Archie, putting it into your words you'll understand.
Pretty sure you should have left that 5 minutes and we can slide.
No, we
don't do that anymore.
No.
But you do. I'm sure you can recognise that the EU does allow for a fairer immigration process because it doesn't favour people from the EU. It allows everyone from the whole world to be on equal footing to move over to the UK with that system. Because the EU, anyone from the EU can just move over and there's no restriction. But you can add no restriction on our migration, but if you have the policy where it means everyone in the world is on equal footing, so it doesn't favour those from France to those from maybe like Nigeria or those from Brazil.
I think the idea that
Brazil.
People coming from anywhere in the world have equal footing when moving into the UK now is... I think that's just not... It's just... That's
not
blatantly
true.
Not true. That's yeah. And I... It just isn't.
If they fulfill the, I think, like 40-point immigration system, it allows...
Lots of them physically can't, though. And it's all very well for us to say there need to be legal mechanisms and they need to go through this process. But a lot of these people are refugees and they're fleeing from a civil war. A civil war that I would argue the people of Syria have lost. You know, we have Assad who's in charge and he's effectively what you've got is a brutal dictator who's taken over Syria, essentially. He's certainly going along the lines. He's an authoritarian leader who treats his people appallingly. And so it's very different. It would be very different if the roles were reversed. But you know, we'll see.
It's like in Lebanon, they had that chemical explosion, and no one that I've seen like in like celebrity or like Elon Musk type rich wise has rushed to help, but everyone was helping Notre Dame when that got burnt down.
That's a really good point. That's, actually,
Notre Dame is, what even is it? It's like a building.
It's a church.
Okay, and I get churches are important, but this, the Lebanon, Beirut, is it?
Yeah, it's Beirut. It's had Beirut. Over 1,000 people. Yeah. So many people made homeless, so many people killed, so many people injured.
But
no one got
Notre Dame was literally just a fire in a church. No one got hurt, I don't think. You know, some people might have got hurt, but they, I don't think, certainly no one died that I know of.
No one was made homeless.
But the people are literally homeless. They need medical supplies because people have died. People are, like, injured.
It's to do with the media because the media will obviously project
the media
Notre Dame
has power
as fire.
Over everything, and so, it's disgusting that the media aren't advertising or advocating for this more.
Put it into perspective, the Notre Dame received more kind of response and help than Beirut did. Nobody died in the Notre Dame fire, although I should say, brace yourself, non-fatal injuries, three people were injured.
That's just
no
Quasimodo.
One made homeless. No, it's Quasimodo.
Yeah, but the thing is, you can appreciate here in Europe, we will hear more about Notre Dame because Notre Dame is about less than 1,000 kilometers away, and you hear less about Lebanon because it's removed from us. It doesn't affect us.
But we hear a lot about America, and that's
even further and seas
away.
And I would also,
it's the Western view of the world we have.
Yeah, we're not saying it's not the Western view. We're saying it's an unhealthy view of the world. And also, I would say, that whole argument about being, oh, it's too much someone else's problem, too far away, that doesn't really work in a modern world. Like, there's no way you can't get in the world in a day. And if everywhere is at least one day away,
like,
you can fly
to Australia from here. I think it's like a half an hour flight to Gatwick.
The bushfires. That was the massive response of international aid and things like that. And while Beirut has received it, the situation's so totally out of hand. I would say the only person who I've seen respond in a way that I thought was good, and it's, God, I can't believe I'm saying this, but Emmanuel Macron actually went and visited Beirut, actually, and he has helped, and obviously,
I think it was a former French territory.
It was a French mandate, which is why he went, but I thought that was good. I think it's a real interesting juxtaposition of responses.
If you want to donate to Beirut, it's the Red Cross.
Donate to the Lebanese Red Cross,
the main one that
and
helps the most.
Yeah, I think that there's a big push not to donate to the Lebanese government because for whatever reason it's much harder for that money to then get to the people who need it. The Red Cross are much more flexible in the region and so can act faster and get the immediate help that people need.
They're much more helpful than the government. Wow, I'm shocked at that statement.
Okay, but we're not here to slag off the Lebanese government.
No.
Lebanon is going through something appalling. So
we're here to slag off Ewan instead.
Ewan.
This is another call out to Ewan for not being here.
That was beautiful. Yeah, Ewan, come on, pull it together, man.
Ewan, why don't you just walk here from Kirkmichael?
Because he can't walk.
He's not dedicated enough to the podcast guy. Oh, he's just messaged the group chat, actually. Oh,
hang on. Everyone, we're going to read out Ewan's.
Ewan
he's just asked if we're recording
out.
Now. Yes, we are, Ewan.
He says, Gucci, are you recording now?
I'll put you
Don't you just love how Gen Z talks? Have you guys seen the...
Sorry, who announced Gen Z? You might need to explain. But also the viewers. Viewers and listeners.
I think it's everyone born after, like, 1995.
No.
Oh, I thought it was a rapper. Sorry, I got confused.
No.
I thought it was, like, a rapper. Gen Z.
No.
It's a sort of music artist. But,
oh, my God. Such Zoomer energy over here.
I don't think
we
can read out Ewan's official statement.
Oh, okay.
No, it comes after millennials, so...
It is everyone born after, like, 1990.
Starting birth of the years...
What?
It's so from kind of mid to late 1990s to early 2010s.
Yeah.
So, yeah, we're all...
It's, like, 1996 to, like, 19...
Gen Zs.
No, to 2015, I would say. That's what I would consider.
Like slipping into Americanisms, but Gen Z just sounds
Gen
better
Z
than
sounds
Gen
like
Z.
A zombie movie.
Gen Z.
I think the Generation Z.
It's been shortened. It's okay.
To be hip with the Gen Z.
Because it's not Z.
Aren't you down with the kids?
It's X, Y, Z.
Yeah.
Not Z.
Right.
So
okay,
Americanisms. Yeah.
Anyway, that's not. That's apparently
very,
what.
Very nice, Archie.
Hang on,
guys. I've got to say it because Ewan isn't here. Very cool, Archie. Okay.
Very cool.
That's Ewan's response when he wants to.
Ewan, why aren't you here?
Okay, right. Let's. Yeah. God.
Oh yeah. Okay, we can't. Yeah,
okay,
we can't read
what Ewan's saying.
It's not like anything bad. It's just
we just can't condone why Ewan isn't here. Yeah. Obviously, because he's missing political albums. It's a disgrace.
It's very upset.
He now has to be here.
This is a verbal warning to Ewan. You have been warned.
You get another verbal warning, then you're out.
Out.
It's not school.
We'll cancel you.
Ewan. Yeah, Ewan's going to be sitting detention with us, guys.
I hope.
But that moves quite nicely onto our...
Ewan is a bad boy.
It moves quite nicely onto something which has been happening quite a lot. Recently, the cancel culture that we see from...
Do you mean, like, politician-wise or, like, anyone-wise? Because
really.
There have been a lot of, like, cancel culture.
Cancel culture is
just anyone. We can talk about people. We can talk about politicians and... Actually, it's weirdly, I think it's happened almost less to politicians. Because if you, like, take some of the things Boris Johnson has said...
Big B.
You know, calling women who wear traditional Islamic clothing, like burqas or... hijabs, saying they look like letterboxes, for example. Just taking that. Archie's just given me, I don't know if that's a look. Because he did do that.
He did do that.
Calling gay people bum buddies and things like that. It's an interesting thing because
I didn't know he did that actually.
Yeah, he did that.
Oh my days. How is he Prime Minister?
How is. Oh, don't remind me. And then if you look at something like J.K. Rowling. We won't go into too much detail because honestly, that whole issue is an episode on its own. But it is strange. I don't understand. A lot of it.
I'm in sympathy with you there, Sam. Just to explain for maybe those who haven't, I would be surprised if you haven't come across the word cancel culture before. But it's also known as call-out culture. It describes a form of boycott in which someone is thrust out of social or professional circles, either online or on social media, in the real world, or both. They're then said to be cancelled. So it's almost boycotting them.
Yeah, my
and
issue,
anything they say.
I don't really have a... It's not even... I don't really have that much of an issue with it, but it can obviously go too far. I'm not saying that it doesn't. But because it's not like they can't say... what they want to. Like J.K. Rowling, she can still say, and she still is saying, anything she wants. She hasn't stopped. But
she should.
I don't think you can... There's a difference between free speech and
being
able to say whatever you want without there being a response. Now, there's been no legal response, but the issue is, if you... So let's take the Boris Johnson example. If you say women who wear burqas or hijabs or whatever look like letterboxes... there is going to be a social response. If you say people who are gay, call them bum buddies, there's going to be a response.
But I suppose that's a level of like an inappropriate response. But if you just say, if for example, I say austerity is good, I say that, and my friends group is totally anti-austerity, and they take that really personally. So therefore, they then cancel. They just shut
you
out. And that's happening in not necessarily such a high profile level. Mm. And that, I think, at least, poses a risk to the ability to have an open, rational debate.
I think
if you're always afraid of being cancelled
and
being shut out from your friends group or people you like or respect or want to spend time with,
but
it offends them, that is then very dangerous to our democracy.
Cancel culture has to do with also the way the people who are being cancelled respond. Like, J.K. Rowling... when she was like J.K. Rowling basically said loads of transphobic things and they weren't very nice and people called her up on it and she just didn't say anything about it. She didn't say, oh guys, I'm very sorry for these transphobic things, this is, you know, what I believe, or like I'm gonna go educate myself on why transphobia is bad. She just didn't say anything. She continued to be transphobic.
I think it
has to do with the way you react. Like, lots of people that I've seen that have been cancelled, they've been cancelled because they just haven't said anything about why they're being cancelled, or their response has just been, oh, I'm sorry, I was young and stupid.
Yeah, it's...
Well...
The thing with the J.K. Rowling thing is it's her response has been, I think, particularly poor. I'm not saying I agree with everything that everyone has said about her, but her response is that if... a trans person comes to you and says, hi, look, sorry, but actually what you said, that's really offensive to me and people like me. You shouldn't say that. It's quite upsetting. Your response should be, oh, I'm really sorry. I didn't realise. It wasn't intentional. Let's have a discussion. And, which I think is what you're saying, Archie. What you need to be able to have is a discussion. But I don't think J.K. Rowling had allowed that. She said, no, this is a line in the sand. I'm drawing it. And
she's giving her opinion straight, but she's not saying... she's not partaking in cancel culture where it's literally, okay, I will now... I will not speak to you. I'll encourage people to actively wreck your life.
That's too far, and we're not. Mm. I'm not saying that it does go too far, and that happens, and I think that's awful. And I think there's never, you know, you should always be able to have a rational debate with someone or a discussion with someone. But equally, it's important that if a celebrity does something wrong, because they are only human and they will do all the time,
you have to.
They're not above that. You can't. If a celebrity says something, you can't go, well, that's opinion. They're their opinion. If a celebrity says something racist, you can't go, well, that is their freedom of speech. You have to have the debate. I'm not saying you cut them out from society.
There's a line between being racist, which is being there's a line between racist and her personal. If Jacob Rees-Mogg, for example, he says that he's Catholic,
yeah,
and if he has religious views, he is allowed to have those views, and he shouldn't have to apologise for them because he's allowed those views. It's a very fine line.
I would also say there is a difference between, and there really is a difference between being a public servant and... Because Jacob Rees-Mogg, who knows, maybe one day he'll run for Prime Minister. We don't know.
Hopefully the case.
What'd you say?
The thing is, it's different when you're a politician and you represent people. Because he doesn't just represent himself, he represents everyone in his constituency.
He represents...
And he can hold those beliefs, but... It's a fine line, because if you think that, you know what, I'll just say, if you think that being gay means that a person is going to hell, if you think that condemns them to eternal torture, if you think that makes them less of a person than if they weren't gay, you're homophobic. And if you're homophobic, that's unacceptable
Period.
In society. And yeah, we can discuss that, and I will happily explain for as long as possible why that is the case. But you can't really dodge around that. If your fundamental belief is so ingrained in you that the idea of... And even if you'd be lovely to them in person, even if you'd be really courteous and really kind when you met them, if you believe that they are less of a person than you for their sexual orientation, that's societally speaking unacceptable. And I'm not saying that the response to that should be to ruin the other person's life and cut them out of society, but equally there has to be something in place where you can explain that's not on.
Oh, I'd say that's the exact line we should draw between cancel culture. You're not asking for him to be hung, drawn, and quartered, and...
Well, I am, but that's separate.
Yes, that's separate. That's separate to that issue. Yeah. It's you can choose to disagree with him, you can choose to call him out on it, but it's not saying, okay, we need to go and burn his house down,
Sense. Save it for the revolution, lads.
I think cancel culture does go too far in some cases, and, you know...
I think any reaction that... is calls for a violent response to these things isn't good. Like,
yeah,
you know, people
bad.
Being like, if they, you know, death threats or threats of violence against J.K. Rowling, obviously that's appalling and that's unacceptable.
Because, education is better than violence.
It's about educating people. Because if people are, you know, whatever, homophobic, racist, transphobic, any of these kind of things, it's a form of, it is hatred, but it's hatred that grows from ignorance. Hatred doesn't just appear out of nowhere. It's not inherent.
Sam, ignorance is bliss.
Ignorance is bliss for some. And I think that's why some people fight so hard against it.
Yeah.
And...
That was very loud.
That was really loud.
Now we move into current affairs of the week. Woo woo. Well, this music's a bit depressing, actually.
Turn it up.
I mean, we do have some depressing topics to talk about, Archie.
Yeah. Hello, and welcome to this week's episode of Politibabble Current Affairs News Service. What has happened in the news today, Lance? What are we going to discuss?
Thousands return to the UK to beat the France quarantine. Mm. Extra ferry services are laid on as 160,000 holidaymakers see their plans thrown into chaos. Coronavirus cases are stable across most of England. I think that's actually pretty good. And Labour call for an urgent U-turn over the exams fiasco, which has happened.
Also,
we've all been subject to that. And all of that is on this week's Politibabble Current Affairs.
Yeah.
I'm kind of digging the tune.
I know.
I would also like to say Sinn Féin's O'Neill, I've just read on the Belfast Times that they've said Brexit will lead to a united Ireland in 10 years. Which, I mean, fingers crossed. I definitely support a united Ireland. And
we also have all received our Cambridge International Examinations results on Tuesday.
Yeah, boy. Archie, I think, Sam, are you the only one that's happy with them at the moment? Archie,
I'm relatively happy.
Okay, so it's just me. Yeah. That's fine.
I'm still unhappy with a few.
Love that.
We both got knocked down a couple. I think I got knocked down in geography and you got knocked down in English.
Yeah.
English.
We'll see what happens. We've had many thunderstorms as well this week, so all that is coming up on Politibabble Current Affairs, which will actually happen now. So I don't know if I said current coming up.
Yeah. Okay.
But that was some fun music, I think.
Now, a word from our sponsor, Sam.
Hi, I'm the sponsor. G'day. listen to Politibabble. It's real good.
If we had merch, would you buy it? Oh my god.
Messages in. If you have any ideas for merch, we'd love to hear them. If you'd be interested in merch, let us know that as well. And as always, message us with any ideas, thoughts, or just general comments about our podcast.
Prayers, yes.
We need them, boys.
And pray for us as well. I think if you do want to have some sort of merch.
Mercenaries. We're mercenaries.
Mercenaries, yes. For hire here.
We should get cups.
We might consider then setting up our Patreon accounts.
Yeah.
Which you can then fund us as well, so we can buy some cool little... I'll take this off if you're on video now. Yeah. You see these little things I'm holding up? Oh, I'm not on video.
I'm on video.
I'm on video, yeah. Yay, there I'm on video. I've managed to force it. We might get some of these with Politibabble on, which will be good fun to put in the studio. But all that comes up on Politibabble.
That ASMR from Archie taking the...
Yes.
We're also an ASMR chat. Stop it.
Yes, it's not good. AMSR. Oh, I can't pronounce it.
You know what? We're going to move on. Can my mic go back on, please?
Yeah, so sorry. Is it ASMR or...
ASMR.
I got it right there. I can never do that.
Okay, so obviously we just said we were going to do current affairs, and then we started talking about
ASMR.
And sponsors.
I was the sponsor.
Yes, the sponsor of this week's Politibabble was
Sammy.
Sammy Rowe.
Sammy Woe.
Sammy Woe.
Anyway, right.
Whoa.
Anyway, so we've got a lot to unpack there. Current affairs.
That's
obviously
a lot
it's been
to
busy.
Unpack.
Welcome to our unboxing video.
Unboxing video of Politibabble's Current Affairs Newsweek new 2020 extra made in China product.
Okay. What was the first thing we said on the thing?
So, thousands... the UK has obviously introduced more quarantine restrictions. I think now on the Netherlands and France, you have to quarantine for 14 days when you return to the United Kingdom. And I think extra ferry services go on, so about 160,000 holiday makers have their plans thrown into chaos. Thousands want to return to the UK, so they have to quarantine for 2 weeks. Such a shame, because, you know, quarantine 2 weeks, it sounds, for me, like a bit, you sit there, chill, watch some Netflix, eat snacks.
Netflix and chill.
Very funny. Yeah, and that's quite nice for 2 weeks, surely.
I mean, well...
Yeah, but you'd go a bit stir-crazy.
Yeah. After about... 3 days.
It's also tricky because a lot of people, a lot of people who want to come back and then work working from home can be really hard for a lot of people. Like if you're a builder, say, that's can't work from home.
Yeah.
Well, if you do want the French experience, I'm sure you're able to import.
You want
some...
the French experience? No,
I'm sure you can buy on islands. You can buy baguettes from Noah Bakehouse. Shout out there, they're very very good.
You can buy croissants.
Yeah,
I'm
croissants.
I'm so sorry, France. This
pain
is...
au chocolat, but also you can buy French cheese, French wine, and just have a holiday in France. It's barmic here at the moment.
You can draw on a pencil mustache. You can wear onions around your neck. These are all things that French people.
Striped shirts and your berets out.
But you see, it's lovely weather here in the Isle of Man at the moment.
We're doing all right.
Yeah.
And we're stuck
and now
inside.
We turn to Max Renew weather. No, of course not.
Not yet.
But that's going in France. And then we've got coronavirus cases. UK's not as good as here on the lovely Isle of Man. No cases. 84 days and going, I think.
Big did you see that?
Boris Johnson has said possibly the most ominous thing he's ever said. He says we're in for a bumpy month ahead. And for him to admit that it's going to be bumpy.
It must be bumpy.
This is the man, by the way, who said 2020 would be a brilliant year for the UK. It's a bit stressful, you know?
Just a tap.
Just
okay,
a little bit.
Bye-bye.
Ladies Archie's and gentlemen, Archie's left the studio.
We've insulted Boris too much. He's got angry.
I guess this is just you and me then, yep. Brisha. What do we think? What do we think about this France thing? Would you go on holiday to France?
I don't know. I've been to France before, and it was all right, yeah.
It was all right. I meant to do with coronavirus. Oh, you just don't like France.
I mean, my mom was thinking...
There,
sorry. My mom was going to... Because if you're a Manx resident, you can leave and come back, but you have to isolate for 2 weeks. So we were going to go see my grandparents in Northern Ireland, but it's just my mom couldn't get the time off work, so it was and I wouldn't be able to get the time off work, so... Yeah,
it's hard to travel still.
If you go for 2 weeks, you're basically on holiday for 4 weeks because, work-wise, not like...
Work-wise, travelling-wise. But yeah. Know what you mean. You're out of action.
I'm missing action.
Pretty sure, always. Archie!
Why is he just looking at...
Right, okay. I'm going to... Archie, stay where you are. Don't you dare move. Because I'm taking a photo of this.
And it's going to be on the Politibabble Instagram. Follow us on the gram, on the Facebook, at Politibabble.
Okay, right. I've got a picture of that. That is insane.
That's majestic.
It's pretty cool. I know that we're meant to do current affairs, and I know that lots of interesting things happen. But Archie's just staring out the window with binoculars.
Oh, isn't the Isle of Man getting a new boat?
Oh, yes. I think we mentioned that last week, though.
Did we?
Yeah, we did.
I don't know. We're getting a new boat.
Sorry
about the interlude there. I just saw the binoculars and thought, what a brilliant opportunity to look out at the lovely Claire Douglas today.
Yeah, but we're recording a podcast. Yes.
I'm sorry.
That's so funny. Is there a camera on you? There is. You'll have just disappeared.
My camera turns off with my mic. It's very useful.
I'm so sorry, viewers. We'll get that picture up on Instagram. Or whatever.
Thanks, Sam.
Looks bougie.
On the IG.
Well, now we move on to our the exams. Labour have called the exams fiasco, which I'm quoting here from an article. Not that it isn't a fiasco.
It is a fiasco.
I'm not using sarcasm.
It's a shambles.
Shambles, lads.
But to be fair, it was an incredibly hard job to suddenly formulate exam grades from no exams. It was mental.
But they could have done it better.
Yeah.
There are some people that have been bumped up 3 grades and some people like me that have just been bumped down, however, having the evidence that I should have got the grades that my predicted grade, basically.
I think they should at least allow for individual appeals.
Yeah.
But obviously we on Ireland, we have about 8 hour exams from Cambridge International examinations.
Yeah.
And that's not regulated by Ofqual. Obviously this is not mentioned so much in the UK news, more in the Isle of Man. So if you're listening from abroad, enjoy. You can hear us all talk about the joys
the
of
shambles
doing
Cambridge of
International.
Cambridge.
Yes.
I literally don't get why we do Cambridge International, because the Isle of Man government basically choose the easiest exams in certain subjects so that more people pass, but surely Cambridge International exams, because they're international, they're harder because different countries have different standards of smartness. So surely it would just be easier to do all the exams with the Welsh board, because that's we do Cambridge International, then we do the Welsh board as well. Yeah. And then I think there are a couple SQA
it is a bit of an odd one. I agree. It hasn't been handled well. It is a hard job, but even bearing that in mind, the Conservatives
have done
a poor job.
They had 4 months to do it. I get there are a lot of people, but come on, four months.
For a government that said it was its moral duty to get kids back into education.
It's the regulator which creates most of it.
I know.
The government's only there to oversee it slightly.
But then they should have overseen it.
Yes, I agree there.
But it's tricky. It is.
But I'm sure we'll be more discussing it next week. You can join us on Friday again, not Thursday, because our WeCheck exam results are next Thursday, so
yeah, we ain't doing
good
that
luck again. To you two, definitely. Yeah. And me, obviously.
And me. Yeah. I'm only getting my RE results, so nobody panic.
I'm getting not most maths. Of my result. No, we took our maths early and then we dropped it because we passed. Yeah.
Oh, that's great though.
Okay.
Okay, boomer.
Okay, Zoomer.
Oh,
he's
Zoomer.
A,
he's a Zoomer.
What's a Zoomer? So
that's,
I don't get
that's
this.
A Generation Z boomer.
And for those viewers who might not know, what's a boomer?
Oh, are you asking? I think
it's
you're
impossible.
A boomer is a baby boomer who holds an attitude about society that if you
these
aren't
goddamn
successful,
kids.
Yeah. If, basically, it's a person who's one of the baby boomers who believes that if you're not successful, it's because you're either too dumb or too lazy to be so. That's kind of the outlook of a boomer.
And it's like those goddamn gays.
And it's not all the baby boomers, but it's some of them.
The majority of them. Those goddamn gays and goddamn kids.
And this does not reflect Breach's views, obviously, and the views of Piss Babble. We cannot condone.
Or do they? No, I'm joking.
None of us are.
Please don't cancel me.
Okay.
Cancel Breach.
Oh, guys. Well, never mind.
Yeah, this has been a very relaxed episode of Piss Babble. Hopefully Ewan will be back, or maybe he won't. Maybe
hopefully
we'll have
not.
Someone new.
I'll get my brother on to replace him.
This is Piss Babble without Ewan.
Yeah,
you've
hugs
been
and kisses.
Babbled.
Extra hugs and kisses, because, you know. We love you.
And if you want to buy merch, get in
merch.
Merch. I keep on doing this.
We don't
this.
Even have merch.
I know.
It's not so car.
Get in touch at Pillars of Babble. Our socials up.
Or
with any comments, questions.
Ask us anything.
I know.
Ask us.
Hope you've enjoyed.
Ask us our opinions.
Bye. Bye.